Let us begin the service by singing number 426, stanzas 7 and 10. 426. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful voice. Vow number 426, stanzas 7 and 10. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, we read in Romans 3, what advantage then has it you, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And these words, we can take it well upon us in this evening hour of this Sabbath day, where I am standing in your midst to bring a serious message. The blessings bestowed upon us in word and sacrament are manifold, and I hope that in this evening, where I have to speak to you the words of the Lord, that something of the reality of death and eternity was bound to our hearts. The Lord comes back to all that we have heard and to all that we have seen. He shall require it from our hands in the hour of death and in the great day of judgment. The words which I will explain to you and will bind to your conscience, you will find in the second epistle of John, the 8th verse, these words: look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. A serious admonition. First for whom? Then to what purpose? And in the third place, with what earnestly? The second epistle of John is written to the elect lady and her children. It was a widow to whom John has sent this letter. To a lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. How many children that woman had, we don't know it. But we know well that she had children walking in truth. You read not in that chapter that all the children were converted, but that he had found of her children walking in truth. That lady itself was converted. And the Apostle John had much love for her, because there lays a spiritual bent. There was a relationship wrought by the Spirit in his heart towards that lady, but also unto some of the children. The Lord in his mercy, he binds together sin that brings to destruction, but not the grace of the Lord. And where it pleased the Lord to give us that privilege to bow down under the truth, to accept it with our whole heart. And it was a need in the heart of that Apostle John that he wrote to that lady, because the church at that time was in a very serious condition. There came into the church many deceivers. Deceivers who did not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Thus there was already in those times a revelation of the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, his purpose was to undermine that solid foundation that was laid in the church by the prophets and by the apostles. You know that Christ, when he was on earth, that he asked Peter what he taught about Christ. And then in the name of the apostles, then he confessed there in public, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the answer of Christ was that the church would be built upon that rock. Not upon Peter, but upon that confession. Because there is no other foundation for us than Christ Jesus and him crucified. The countenance of the preaching, the visible signs in the church, which we have in the Lord's Supper and in baptism, both of them that refers to Christ. He is the Savior who saved his people. He is the surety who reconciled us with God. And he is the mediator who restores us into the communion and fellowship with God. There is nothing so necessary than to know that. And where Christ is lacking, people, here, in our hearts, then there is no foundation for eternity. So many people is resting upon a changing in their life. So many people is leaning upon some tears that they cried and shed. And some emotions, some experience, but not founded on the Word of God. And where Christ is missing and lacking, then we miss everything for time and for eternity. The devil, he is always busy to give us some rest in those things where we never will find rest. I tell you from the beginning, people, it is even impossible for us living under the truth to consider the things of death and eternity. We are busy with everything except this. And here in our heart, I start with that. Here in our heart, in our house, in our family, in our work, everything is busy to draw our mind and our attention from the things that are necessary for the great and ever-ending eternity. And why? Why? We are dead in trespasses and sins, but not as the people that lay on the cemetery. No. We are dead, but in an other connection. At the bottom of our heart, people, there is nothing else here than enmity against the Lord. And there is nothing for us so awful than that there is a God above us. Really. Because that is, I tell you the truth, the full truth, that is for men by nature a hindrance in his way. That is a stumble block. That there is a God. That we have a conscience. And that in that conscience that we have, that the Lord has revealed eternity in it. A stumble block for us. At the other hand, the blessing. Because if that was not in us, then we all were in jail. And we all lay for a long time all at the bottom of hell. Really. Because what man is in his foundation, there are no words to explain that. Really. So often, if the Lord uncovered us, what we are by nature, then it is no wonder that Job, that he cursed the day that he was born. And that they say that Joseph, a boy, is brought into this world. Read. Then there are times in our life when we see a cat, we see a cow or a dog, that we say to that animal, you are happier as I am. And I want that I was in your place. I want that I was in your place. Why? You never have sinned, but I have sinned. I have provoked the Most High, and that is for me indelible. All I twist. Even when the Lord cast my sins away in the sea of forgiveness, that he declares unto me that he never shall remember more, but still for me indelible. And I tell you people, if that is different with us, then I declare in this evening in the name of the Lord that you are a totally stranger of the work of the Lord. Totally. And we broke in paradise a covenant with the Lord with that intention to never come back to him. Oh, that enemy that is here in our heart, that is an absolute fact. And we shall fight with the Lord and against him until there comes a time that the Lord stops us, that he lays us at his footstool, and that we cry, Lord, have mercy with me, sin. And the Lord brings his people to a point in their life that it becomes a hopeless case. A hopeless case. We know nothing about Christ. Nothing. This Sunday, it is the first Advent Sunday. You know that maybe. The four Sundays for Christmas. And especially when there is a minister, then he speaks in those weeks about the promises referring to Christ out Old Testament. But even that we have heard our whole life of him, we still strangers of him. Still strangers. And it is necessary that there comes a time in our life that the Lord revealed in my heart his only begotten Son. and then only is it possible to know, but not outside of that. And in the first time of our life, oh, then we are the wandering sheep here in this world. We have to die. We have to meet our Maker. And nights after nights, there are people that lay in the bed, not sleeping, no, but with a trembling heart waiting for the moment that the Lord shall come to cast him in that everlasting place. They are waiting for this. And they come to the conclusion that the Lord can do nothing else with them than this. And they become worthy. They become worthy to this. But that is something. That is something. That there comes a time in our life that we surrender ourselves in the hand of the Lord. And that we say, Lord, thy will be done. And what you are doing with me, not that I am indifferent, no. But I want to say amen. I want to say amen. And there comes a time in the life of that people. Oh, then they have to vote. They have to vote between two things. The glorifying of the attributes of the Lord and my own salvation. What they want. And if there is something of God's love in our heart, then I vote for the glorifying of the attributes of the Lord. I am voting. And then I chose that rather than my salvation. The Lord cannot deny himself. He is holy, just, and righteous. And that is now in our day so much less. You hear people about Christ many times, but that the Lord is holy. That the Lord is justice, and that by virtue of his attributes, that he'd have to cast me away in that everlasting prediction. Oh, that is necessary to learn it first. Oh, deceive not your soul for the great and ever-ending. And I want people that I could speak to you with such seriousness in this evening as that I shall want in the day of judgment, when you shall stand with me there before the great tribunal. And if there was one in your midst that would say, Minister, you have deceived my soul for that great eternity. You have built me upon something that is now fallen away. Oh, I want that I have something of eternity in my heart in this evening for all of you. Oh, could I break your heart in pieces? And that you were nothing else in this evening as tears before the Lord. Because the break out of this church and the wood out of that wall that shall testify against us in the day of judgment. And it is not something, people, that we can take in our own strength. No. It must be given unto us from above as a free and as a sovereign gift of the Lord. Oh, the necessity, young and old, that it comes to an end here, that it comes to an end. When the Lord open our eyes, then we become a sinner. But we have to become a lost sinner. And after that we become a lost sinner, then the time comes that we become a poor sinner. And as a wretched sinner, we shall enter into hell. That is the way of the Lord. And there is no other way. And when it please the Lord to bring us to an end, oh, that blessed, that precious, and that excellent Savior and Mediator, the Son of God, dwelling in heaven, oh, that Christ, He is able to save us to the uppermost. And He is that holy name that is given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And he takes care for hopeless cases. Only for hopeless cases, people. Take it as with you. Take it as with you. And as long boy and men and women and children, as long as it not becomes here a hopeless case, then the Lord stay far from us. And He is far, far from us to reveal Himself unto us. And now Johnny wrote to that lady and to the children, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Look to yourselves. All the temptations, that is the meaning of that text, the temptations are so many. Oh, people, that I have a little freedom, a little, with all my shortcomings, and that I have to do so day and night. Free. But at the other hand, to preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified, that is our call from the Lord. And I tell you, oh, here inwardly, by nature, that do not agree with you. No. I am the same enemy as you are. The same. And my nature, my flesh, and my blood too, that want to take the crown from the head of Christ and to place Him upon my own head. But I cannot counsel Him. No. I hear some years ago, a child of God saying in his prayer, Lord, I am living to crown myself. And then that man stops his prayer. He stops there for a while. And oh, he cried so bitterly, that man. He cried so bitterly. We are enemies to be saved out of free sovereign grace. And for each and every child of God, the happiest day shall be that they die. The happiest day that we bring them to the cemetery, that it is done with him. Really. Because if we are on the right path and on the right road to heaven, then we condemn ourselves. And then we never can be glad with ourselves. But then we realize, Lord, all that we do, that we are grieving the Lord time and again in our life. And that we are enemies of that way of free and sovereign grace. Enemies. But what is now the difference, boy? Oh, there came a time in their life that the Lord lay him down. There came a time in their life that the Lord take away, broke that enmity in our heart. There came a time, oh, that we lay at his feet, kissing his feet, with tears and with supplication. And that it became our desire that he became king over us. Here, king in my heart. And that there came a time that we are so glad that the Father has set him as a king upon the holy mount of Zion. And that we are grieving it. And that our oh, their people, their whole life, that is nothing as a praying against himself. And to ask, break me off, Lord. Lord, give me grace that I never can lift up my head, but that I bow down before you, and that I press it to my heart, that doctrine of free and sovereign grace, and that it is only Christ and him crucified. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. Because, be careful. Because the temptations are so many. The power of the devil great. And the weakness of our heart is oh so great too. Yes, we have no weapons. And we have no power to uphold ourselves. No, that is impossible. And if the Lord leaves us one moment over to ourselves, people, we deny that foundation and we are running away from it. Really. But now the Lord keeps his people with that. And it becomes a pleasure for the life, a joy for the soul. That we not lose those things which we have wrought, which are wrought in our heart. Oh, can we lose that saving grace that the Lord has given in the heart of his children? No. There is no apostasy of saints. No. But we can bring ourselves in darkness. And in such a darkness, people, for our whole life, Samson, an example out of the Bible, he came in prison on account of the conversation with that woman. And he had to stay in prison till the day of his death. An anointed one of the Lord, a type of Christ. The last day, then the Lord came back to him and visited him. And for how long time that he was in prison, we don't know. But he was sitting there, his eyes were pulled out. and his hair cut off, no strength. Oh, but it is something, people. And now for the congregation, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. The doctrine that was brought unto us, that foundation that was laid amongst us. The temptations are so many, especially when we have always reading services. And there are so many ministers in such places here, and some quiet speakers. Oh yes, explaining sometime a text, very nice. And then all the temptation is so great for boys, girls, sometime for married people, to go there. And in the first time, then it is not so easy to sit there. But after some months, oh, then it becomes accustomed to us. And then sometime we believe, oh, maybe it is possible that it well is, that it well can be that too. Yes. And then there's people that say, oh, you think now all the people that is lost in those other churches. All those other people, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Congregational, Reformed, Christian Reformed, all lost their people. That is a question. But we have an answer for it. Oh yes, I have an answer for you. I have an answer. And what is my answer? We are not fighting for a church, for a church building. No. I preached sometime years ago in a barn. Upstairs in some farmhouse, different place. That is the same. The main thing is the Lord there. That's the main thing. And if the Lord is somewhere else, some in some place, I will preach there. Really? I have no objection. No. But we are not fighting for a building, but well fighting as a lion for the truth. And I give that young people an advice in this evening to search the confession of Athanasius. You do that as well. And that man, he explained that so nice. And then he started already to say that nobody can save us who do not believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy. And then his knife that is so sharp, he cut every man up who is missing that faith and who denied that foundation. And now, you know, in many of those churches, there are some, they say to us, we have the same Bible, we have the same catechism, we have the same confession. All the same. You can live with us. Why not? No. No. We have all the same Bible. And we have all the same confession. But where is now the difference between them and us? That is the application of the Bible. And the application of our confession. And it is too bad that I have to say it. But In the last time I have to hear some of those ministers of other churches. You have the summit funerals, and really, once I saw that man on a funeral home in the by Chicago, and I thought, oh, I hope when I have to listen to that man in the cemetery soon, that he may say now something that I can agree with. Really? Oh, it is not our intention to condemn each and everyone. No. I want that on every pulpit was preached that sound doctrine, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Lord all and in all, I mean not. I want. When you hear those men, I tell you, first, they all start with Christ, and they ended with Christ. They do it. But they tell you not one word about Adam. And there we have to start. There we have to start. And then Moses represented the Holy Law. Oh, that man that is up there for so many centuries. Oh no, we it is not our intention to tell that man out of the grave. No, he can stay there. Christ, but Christ have no value if we have no knowledge of Adam and no knowledge of Moses. Nothing at all. And in general, they deny the state of death of man. They deny it. They take all those nice texts out of the Bible. And on the funerals, they use the same book for each and every one. And then all... Then you hear nothing else than always the same thing. In the house of my father are many mansions. And who believes shall be saved. And who will, he come and drink of the waters of life for nothing. All those texts. But they deny that we are dead in trespasses. And then, oh, when I sit under that people, then I think, oh boy, I want that you now start what it is here. I want that you now start with it. And that you now it is lay open to us, free. And how hopeless it is, I make on my side. And I want, men, oh, I want that you now came with the third person in the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit and His unlimited power, what is necessary for my soul to make me alive. Oh, the Lord created heaven and earth. And when I was sitting in the train last for 4 days to the far west, oh, then I saw so many of in the realm of nature. Created by the Lord. I saw it before 90 before already. But oh, then you see so many of the wonderful works of the Lord. And I thought so many times in that train of Lord, there is greater power is necessary for me than the creation of the whole world. Oh, I tell you people, if we know ourselves, then we have to say, Lord, I believe it is done for me. It is done. I cannot be comforted. No. I cannot be comforted. No. And that's the truth. And if we never come to the realization of that people, we shall deceive our soul. And they can talk, and they can talk and say, now you condemn all that other people. No, I condemn nothing. But well I say in your midst in this evening that there is no other way to heaven than one way. Than one way. And we have to enter through the straight gate. Shall we ever walk on that narrow way to heaven? But the straight gate that is broken over for years and years. For years and for years. No wonder that the people, that have a right insight in the truth, that they have objection, soon after the separation in 1834, towards that, and they saw the danger of it so soon and quick, and they have seen a right. Later on, the Dolly Elsie came in 1886, and God's people, most of them, they were afraid. They were afraid from it. And they saw such dark clouds. It was not without reason. No. It was not without reason, because we will, that is our nature, we will make the way to heaven so easy for people. That is all that he wants. And then, oh, it's so nice. I can do something, and then the Lord, he do something, and then we come so together. That is now the purpose. And that is now what the people say. But, oh, my dear ones, oh, my dear friends, from outside never. Oh, and then they say, you stretch out your hand to the Lord. No, never. I withhold my hand. That is what I do. But what the Lord is doing, oh, then he comes behind me and he grasps my hand, and he never make it loose that I never. That is my salvation. The Lord has hold my right hand. And otherwise, all Joseph Iris, he said in one sermon, after 35 years that he was justified, that his sins were forgiven and a right to eternal life, he said, if now the Lord at the present day me leave alone, then I go back to hell. I go back to hell. And so it is, people. But the Lord, he takes care for his own work. Look to yourself that you not lose. Not lose those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Not lose the truth. Not lose it in our heart, in our mind, in our congregation. But for ourselves, then we have never to fight people. No. Then we cannot be as a lamb if it goes over us. But if it goes about the truth, then we have to be as a lion. And a consistory, they have to know the truth. They have to know it because they are watchmen for what comes on the pulpit. Yes. And every father and mother in his own house. We have to watch. Yeah, but some people say, oh, if I start with that, then I have trouble in my family. And then they look so dark to me the whole week. So it goes. But shall now better for us the favor of the Lord in our heart? Or that we walk without children and that in the day of judgment that they would say to us, Dad, Mother, if you have one, but you talk with me the same thing, and you gave me permission for this and permission for that. Yes, because soon it becomes eternity. And if he's standing at the side of the Lord, then we shall have the favor of the Lord in our life. Oh, then we shall receive a full reward. Not an half, but a full reward. Out of sovereign grace. You read in the Bible, in Ruth 2, verse 12, that Boaz said to her, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. A full reward. And oh, the time is gone, I shall not keep you longer this evening. But I will say is this, people, it was for me, for you, a blessing. If eternity, every day was reality for me and for you. That was necessary. Our life flies away, and soon it is eternity. And then we have to appear not for men, but we have appeared before the Lord. And then. And shall now every blessing testify against us, men and women, boys and girls. Most of you were here in this morning when we administered the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It comes back. Oh, so many people stay there, remain seated there in the bench. And most of them, they are so confessed. They have no grace. They come not to the Lord's table. But, oh, it is so bearable. If it now was unbearable. And maybe you came home in this afternoon and you were talking about the people that were sitting here. And then you lay him on the balance. And then you who say maybe, oh, that man, I believe nothing of him. That woman, I don't know. That one, yes, so it goes. So it goes. And we forget ourselves. Oh yeah, it is best, the best thing is but to say it the same as that it is, and that it goes. But if we have to stay in our bends, then we must not be nothing else than tears. That we say, Lord, soon. And it is possible, people, that here is some men for whom it is the last time that they have seen it, that the Lord's Supper was administrated here. Lean not upon your strength of your age. No. The Lord can take us away in every age and all the time. And then, and it shall not help that we say, I was unconverted. It shall not help us because that we are unconverted. That is not God's fault, but that is my fault. I make myself in paradise unconverted. All that lays upon me, not upon the Lord. And I hope that the few words in this evening, that it has made deep impression. Oh, that it not testify against you. I was standing here on this pulpit more than over the 200 times. And so many warnings and admonitions. And invitations. there came to you time and again, and there comes an end to it. There comes an end to it. The time coming that you shall not hear no more my voice anymore. The time that comes. But in the day of judgment, that voice that you have heard more than over the 200 times, that comes back in your ear when you are standing before the judgment seat. And then, oh, and then, people, what shall it be when it shall testify against you? I hope in this coming night that you have no rest for the sole of your feet. I hope. And that is that sleep was taken from your eyes, but that you consider what you have heard in this day. Was there some bit of a divine right in this morning? I hope that the Lord uncovered it. I hope it shall be terrible, people, with the lie in our right hand to stand before the Lord. It shall be terrible. And those who came here, who were brought here, I can say that better, who were brought here by the Lord in this moment, oh, I hope that the Lord gives his approval and that he had given you some provision on the way to heaven, and that it was to the comfort of your heart. Were there some who were not here in this morning hour, but with the work of the Lord in their heart, the reason the Lord knows, oh, some that they would say inwardly, if you go there, it goes with you as with the sons of Aaron, that the Lord kill you. Strife is sometimes so heavy, and the arrows of the devil so sharp. But oh, all those that have the principle of God's work, soon they shall have the Lord's Supper with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that full communion with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.